Right, today I'm on the hotline to Dubai with Laura King. Thanks very much for agreeing to talk to us, Laura. So you're a presenter on the Dubai Racing Channel. You're also a producer and you're a writer. Anything else? Any more strings to your bow you want to tell us about?
No, I think that's it. General Dog's Body on Dubai Racing Channel. Have been for about longer than a decade now. I think 11 years or something full time, which is great fun most of the time. Yeah, lucky to be here, especially at the moment. I think anyone with a job at the moment is just happy to have one.
Yeah. So how did you find yourself in Dubai?
So I have a journalism diploma, which I finished after my degree, and then I joined the BHA's grad scheme, which loads of good people have come through. Brilliant experience, spending a little bit of time at the Racing Post, 2 weeks in Newmarket, absolutely fantastic. And then just before I went on my internship to the Racing Post, I got a call saying I got a job in Dubai, which was with a publication called Race Week, which sadly is now defunct. I can say I've killed off two magazines since I've been in Dubai. Race Week was tremendous. That brought me here. And then I think I had a 6-month contract with them. And once that was up, I didn't want to leave, really. So I stayed and then they renewed my contract for a year or so. And then I moved to another magazine, and a magazine called Equestrio. And then I moved to the TV after that.
Okay, so your background, you told me, was steeped in national hunt racing and point to point. So can you tell us a little bit about your origins?
Yeah, it's all through my dad, really. My dad's an avid follower of point to points. That would be his main. If you could give him a race course or a day's racing, he'd pick a point to point. He absolutely loves it. So I was brought up on that, going point to pointing a lot as a kid. There's pictures of me in a little carry thing as a baby going point to pointing. We're not from a racing family, really, apart from my dad's interest in it. And then I was lucky he took me to Cheltenham, to Aintree, places like that as well when I was pretty small. So very much background in national hunt, and now very much the other way, pretty much concentrate on the flat for most of the time now. Obviously being in Dubai, something they're yet to do here is have jump racing, as far as I'm aware.
So when did you decide that you wanted to make your career, you know, horse racing or racing?
Oh, when I was really young, I decided I wanted to be a sports journalist, probably when I was about 12, 14. So I sort of aimed my education that way. And it was always going to be racing or football. I think I would have made a lousy football writer. So I'm really glad that I chose racing. It's just given me so much. It's brilliant. And I'll never, ever get bored of it. I love it.
So what turned you from, you know, a jumps girl to suddenly loving the flat? What was it that spun you around or turned your head?
I think when I moved to Dubai, I was really young. I was only 21 when I moved here. And there's just that's all there is here. And we're lucky we've got a lot of diversity. We've got 5 tracks. They're all completely different. And work-wise, I was just concentrating on the flat. And I realised it was going to be much better for me professionally and what I was trying to do here if I learned about racing in Japan and America and places like that, rather than if I concentrated on national hunt back home. So I think immersing myself in flat racing here was... I just sort of lost touch a little bit with National Hunt, sadly. But I still, you know, obviously the big days we watch here, we're lucky that we have them on the channel, and I'm still pretty much up to speed with it. It's just the focus of what I do here is very much flat.
Okay, and you said that you're sort of in love with international racing. Is that because you get to travel to watch it?
I absolutely love traveling to watch racing. That's what I live for, really. It's just brilliant. I think I love the fact that someone would be sporting enough and make the investment, both in time and financially, to put a horse on a plane and send them to run in another country. I just think it's absolutely tremendous. The fact that a Royal Ascot, despite everything that's going on, I can't get there as a human from Dubai, but they've got horses there from America, I think is absolutely wonderful. And I just love that the level of sort of, yeah, I think sporting is the best word for it, the level of ambition that makes someone say, yeah, I'm not content with winning a race here. I'm going to go and win one in another country. I think it's brilliant. And I think that top trainers who've achieved everything that they have to achieve in their own country, they need to sort of prove that they can do it somewhere else. And the same goes for top horses. I don't think Enable would be the horse that she is had she not gone to France to win 2 arcs. And I think that you do need to prove yourself as a sports person or an equine athlete. You need to prove that you're the best in the world, not just stay at home. So I just absolutely love international racing. And the other thing I love is learning about the way they do things in different countries. Like I went to Mauritius last year on holiday and we went to the race course, and it was absolutely amazing just to see the way they do things. They've got this ridiculous grandstand, which is so skinny. It can't be more than about 20 meters wide, yet it's absolutely packed. It's the most enthusiastic crowd I've ever come across anywhere. And it just sort of works the way they do things, even though they don't irrigate, they're running on this really firm ground. It's just things like that intrigue me. They've got different rules for the jockeys that you'd see anywhere else. And then you could go somewhere not too far away from that, like South Africa, and it would all be different again. I love that. And you could pretty much carry on traveling forever, I think, and still learn things about racing and how they do it in different countries. I mean, I haven't even touched the surface of the Middle East and where they race over here, places like Kuwait and Iraq, places like that race, and I haven't even been to investigate that. So you could carry on forever with it, and I can't imagine ever getting bored of that.
So your enthusiasm comes across palpably. Sort of. So where have you, what's the most exotic place you've been racing?
Ooh, I actually did list out all the tracks I've been to recently, which is a little bit of a egotistical thing to do. The most exotic place, I've got my eye on St. Lucia. That looks great. I haven't managed to make it there yet. Probably was Mauritius, actually. Just in terms of the passion of the crowd there was just something I've never, ever seen anywhere. All to do with betting, of course. Beyond that, I love America. My favourite track is Santa Anita. I think it looks as though the worst is behind them in terms of what they went through last year. Just think that it's got that mix of an amazing spectacle, amazing scenery, and some wonderful history. I absolutely love it. And I've been lucky enough to go to Saratoga for the last four summers. I think I went there for a day. Then the next year I went for 2 days, and then a week, and then 2 weeks. I absolutely love Saratoga. That's, again, got the history and it's got the top class racing. So they would be my favourite tracks. I'm not sure if that answers the exotic question. I've also been to some weird places. Like last year I went racing in Bucharest, which was a real experience, and that was, I think, about half a dozen harness races and an Arabian race. That was good fun.
So did you go there professionally, or do you just realize that there's these things going on and go there as a holiday or
something? A little bit of both. My husband's very long suffering, so as soon as we went to Mauritius I was like, oh, they're racing. Well, like, it'd be really silly to come here and not film a feature for the channel. So we did, and he's very good at being a cameraman and tolerating having a day off from his holiday to film. And then the trip to Bucharest was with the Sheikh Mansour Festival that sponsors Arabian racing all over the world. So they love going to countries that aren't really recognised on the racing circuit, perhaps, and putting on an Arabian race and showcasing that sport there. So I've gone to a few sort of weird and wonderful places with them, which has been amazing.
And what's on the top of the list that you haven't been to?
Where haven't I been to that I really want to go to? Definitely that one in St. Lucia. That appeals a lot. I'd love to go to, it sounds strange, but there's a new track in America called Colonial Downs. They've got some really good people there managing it, and it just sounds really good fun. They've got a little meeting, short meeting, and it just sounds really good. So that's one I'm kind of keen to tick off in the next few years. I'm trying to think countries-wise that I haven't been to that I'd really love to go. It'd be interesting to see racing in somewhere like Russia, particularly with Arabians. There's a bit going on there with them. And I think we might just see and hear from them a lot more in the thoroughbred world over the next few years. There's a lot of now prominent Russian owners, especially here in Dubai. And we have had the odd horse come over from Russia and do reasonably well. So that could just be a bit of a rising force. It'd be interesting to see what level they're at there now and how it is going to evolve. I love seeing places that are really sort of starting relatively small, and then they're going to become a big force, which I think we've seen most notably recently with South Korea. I mean, I didn't even know they raced there 6 years ago, and now I think I've been five times to their big international meeting, and their breeding is really coming along. Their local breds are able to hold their own. They're increasingly a big force. They had a horse run really well at the Breeders' Cup. They've got loads of people go racing. They have a huge betting turnover. They're going to be a massive emerging nation. So it's kind of nice to visit places that are just on the cusp of breaking through, if you like.
I suppose it's, you think that racing is going to become, you know, increasingly international, the way, you know, the ease of transport and stuff these days. So what would be...
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I think it's still it still must be difficult though, mustn't it? I haven't ever traveled with a horse. I've done features on horses traveling, but the logistics of it, I think, must still be very difficult. But we're just lucky to have so many people willing to do it.
Yeah, I interviewed Steve Smith Eccles a while back, the ex-National Hunt jockey, and that's what he does now, travels with horses in the plains and things. Yeah, I think it's quite a hairy job, quite hard, you know, quite difficult.
I think it'd be quite rewarding if you had sole charge of a horse, or perhaps you and someone else, and you delivered that horse to you know, America from Newmarket and won at the Breeders' Cup or something. That would be absolutely tremendous if you were the flying groom. I can think of worse jobs.
Yeah. So you've got a penchant for US racing. How big a spectator sport is it? I mean, it doesn't appear in the daily papers like it does over in the UK, does it? It's not that, you know, how is the sort of status of racing in America?
It's not in great shape. It's really not in great shape. Obviously, I mentioned earlier the issues with Santa Anita last year. Racing California could feasibly get banned. It's got that bad. There's a powerful lobby against it. And really, in terms of spectators, it's apart from the big days, it's not particularly well attended. I went to the Kentucky Derby last year, which was an absolutely amazing experience. The whole of Louisville that week is just gripped by Derby fever, and it's just brilliant. I can't really describe how amazing that was as a race day. But then if you went to Churchill Downs the rest of the meet, there'd be hardly anyone there, which is really sad to see, especially at these big historic tracks. So it's not in great shape. There's a lot that needs doing. It's, you know, we moan about racing in England. Maybe there's different factions. The horseman's group wants something and other people need something else, and the punters need something. But America, you've got a different rule from state to state. It really does need a national governing body, which, although everybody agrees that it needs one, it doesn't seem like it's actually going to happen. So, I wish it was in slightly better health than it is. But I absolutely love it. And I think the reason I love it is just because there's so many great stories over there. There's just so many sort of human interest stories that the press over there are very good at bringing out.
Now, you mentioned, I was going to ask you, because, you know, US racing is sort of broadcast over here on the racing channels and things, and people bet on it. How does racing differ from state to state? In what way?
Well, I mean, you've got completely different rules with things like, for instance, nasal strips. I think California Chrome's year, you couldn't race in them in New York, but you could in Kentucky and things like that. And there's different rules on medication. I think even Bob Baffert's recently fallen foul of that. There's different rules on interference, things like that. And stewarding rules are different. It's really, really difficult, I think, if you are trying to ship horses in between states to exactly know where you are with it. Of course, it's a trainer's job to know all that. But as I understand it, without ever having been based there, it is very much different state to state, just in terms of the sort of basic rules, which you know, doesn't really encourage you perhaps to ship your horses across the country.
Okay, Laura, so you're based in Dubai. We see a lot of, you know, racing from Dubai, the UK, it's well covered. How does racing in Dubai, what would be the basic differences to that in the UK, if any?
No gambling on course is the main one. Gambling's illegal in the UAE, as we know, so you don't have any bookmakers. And obviously it has an impact on the crowd to some extent, although I would say that particularly our smaller tracks are so well attended. People love going racing. It's free to go racing here in the public enclosures, which is amazing. And so we get really good crowds, particularly at Jebel Ali, which people might be familiar with being on a sort of Friday morning, UK time, starts around 10 o'clock. And also Al Ain, which you wouldn't have seen on TV in the UK because it's primarily Arabian racing, but they get really good crowds, and Maidan as well. But I'd say, because it's such a vast area, and the crowd gets a little bit lost there compared with Jebel Ali and Al Ain, where the crowd are right on the track and so passionate. But yeah, definitely the main difference is no gambling on course, though you can of course bet on two of our tracks in the UK and elsewhere.
Okay, but it seemed to a lot of people in the UK strange that that racing would be so popular, but you can't bet on it. Obviously, it's a cultural thing. Can you explain? You know, can you explain how people still get so excited by it when there's no sort of outcome for them?
So the horse is a really important part of the culture here in terms of the Emirati culture, the local people. If you sort of look at any history of Dubai, really, horses and falcons will be very much part of that. Obviously, we know that the thoroughbreds derived from Arabians. They're native to the region. That's why we race so many Arabians over here. And endurance racing as well is a huge part of it, and that the rulers all take part in that themselves. And they're very loyal here to the ruling family as well. So if they're doing it, everyone else kind of wants to get involved as well. And I think for the expatriate population, most people would have accounts elsewhere in the world. You're not breaking any rules there because you're offshore, if you like. And one massive change, which I have to give the authorities credit for, it's been the best thing to happen to Dubai racing in my time here, is that about 4 years ago now, 5 years ago now, they introduced a sale of primarily ex-Godolphin horses, which means that people can come in and buy, there's no reserve, come in and buy a beautifully bred horse pretty cheaply. And that has brought in loads and loads of expat owners, syndicates, new nationalities into racing here. And it's been a huge change. It's meant that instead of relying on the ruling family, the royal families, to put all the horses on the track, so you've got the same silks going round and round, you've now got so many different colours, so many different people going racing. It's opened it up to a whole new audience, and it's really, really changed things, and definitely for the better.
So how popular would it be with the locals? I know you said it's popular, but how popular? I mean, what sort of crowds would you get there of a?
Well, it's a difficult question, because the locals, as in the Emiratis, are only 10% of the population. So there's not actually very many of them, and they would probably only really go racing on the big days. There are quite a few young Emiratis now coming into the sport, which is brilliant. Through the sort of Masar Godolphin scheme and things like that, and that they're starting to own horses, which is absolutely great. But beyond that, the bulk of the crowds at the tracks is made up by Sudanese expatriates who live and work here, and also probably Pakistani expatriates would be the broad sort of nationalities that come racing and make up the crowd. And these guys are so passionate about it; they absolutely love it. They may have some sort of little ring going on, perhaps. Who knows, amongst themselves. They can play the Pick Six competition, which is free, and you can win a lot of money on that. I don't think I've ever got more than about two, right? I'm terrible at that. But that's really popular, and that's free to enter, and you can win £10,000, £20,000 perhaps if you get them all right. So that brings people to the racetrack. And it's just a real nice family atmosphere. People take picnics, they can take their children. It's great. So we're really lucky that we have that. And we have that sort of really passionate core of race fans, and they will. You could go to Jebel Ali on a Friday, you could drive an hour and a half to Al Ain the next day, and the same people will be there. They travel all around the weekend because they love their racing.
Okay, so is there like a trade paper? Is there form, that sort of thing? You know, do people delve into it like that?
Yeah, for sure. So we have our racing post, if you like. It's called Aladia. It's in English and Arabic, and that has all the form, comments, same thing as you'd be used to in news stories. And also the Emirates Racing Authority website is really good, as it has a database of all the horses in training here. And it's very, very good with their past performances. And unlike in the US, but of course, like we're used to in the UK, that's all free. So we're really lucky with things like form guides. They're very good.
Okay, now you've become involved with ownership in syndicates, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, I love it. It's the best thing. It's great fun.
So how do the fees, training fees, stroke prize money ratio compare? Is it feasible to do it and hopefully it will wipe its face, or is it still a something for rich people? You know, is it a pastime?
We're really lucky here. The training fees are pretty low compared with the UK. So you're looking at about £1,000 a month, maybe a bit more, maybe let's say 1,100, 1,200 a month. And that's everything, because things are subsidised. So feed and things like that are subsidised. And because all the horses are trained, the majority of the horses are trained kind of at Maidan, so transport costs are low. And the trainers are all salaried by the Emirates Racing Authority or Dubai Racing Club. So training fees don't really differ. You could send your horse to the champion trainer or someone up and coming, and you pretty much pay the same amount. So it's very, very reasonable. Prize money is absolutely fantastic. It's out of this world. You can have horses running around in a maiden for 90, no, not necessarily good horses. They might have, you know, or we'd even have sort of 60 rated handicappers running for £20,000 perhaps. It's very, very good. And they put a lot, particularly at Maidan in recent couple of years, they put a lot of money into prize money. I don't think they needed to. It was good anyway. But they've done that recently. Jebel Ali's pretty good. And there's, you know, we've obviously got the World Cup is the other end of the scale with the millions there. But the domestic scene, they've made it really affordable to have horses here now. The only con is that we have a probably the shortest racing season in the world, one of them anyway. We start end of October and we wrap up mid-April, which is actually an improvement. We used to wrap up with the World Cup, that was that, at the end of March, but 2019 extended the season, which was greatly appreciated. This year we lost it due to coronavirus, but hopefully next year they'll go back to extended season. So you do have to pay for your horses in the summer to do nothing. They do lots of swimming and they stand in air-conditioned boxes and they're quite happy, but you're not obviously going to get a return then. But against that, we've got a really, really good fixture list. I think there are opportunities for most horses now, although you know, to keep everyone happy. And say the prize money is superb. So with our syndicate, we've been lucky so far. And you know, unless they're injured or something, we've managed to make ends meet, which is all you can ask.
So is that season basically down to the climate? It's too hot in the summer. Is that why it's so short?
I mean, it's where are we? Mid June, and it's 40. I think it's got up to 45 degrees this week, and like 80% humidity. It's horrible. You couldn't race in this, I don't think.
So do you are you ever tempted to have a little flutter? Do you bet?
I'm really bad at betting. I get too emotionally involved in horses, and I'm too impatient, I think, to sort of really have a proper look through. So I bet, luckily for me, or I'd be very poor, I bet in kind of embarrassing little £2 denominations. It's for fun only, and I do enjoy it. But yeah, I wouldn't really describe myself as a gambler. I'd be terrible at it. I'd be broke by now if I did it properly. I've done okay over the years with like the odd, you know, decent each way bet coming in that I'd be quite proud of. But generally, the bookies do better out of me than I do out of them.
Now for people that do bet on racing in Dubai, with your local knowledge, is there any sort of jockey trainer combinations or you know, sort of draw bias or anything like that you could sort of give to help people with their you know, to get the edge a bit on in racing in Dubai? Is there a trainer and a jockey that might have a good win ratio, that sort of thing?
Well, the last couple of seasons, Satish Seymour has been very much the man to follow. He's been champion trainer again last year. He did brilliantly, but his stable jockey is Richie Mullen, and the yard is so strong that he does often find himself on the wrong one, which is pretty difficult. So I would say you can generally follow Satish quite reliably, but you might not know which jockey's going to sort of wind up on the right one, Richie or Tiger O'Shea, who's a champion jockey. Doug Watson, people probably know, was made a bit of history earlier on this season back in November, trained all six winners on a card. He's incredibly potent on Maidan's dirt surface in particular. And he usually has a couple of good two-year-olds. He does particularly well with two-year-old fillies. I'm not sure if we're going to have a two-year-old program this year because obviously people can't really buy them at the moment. And beyond that, with the Carnival, Charlie Appleby in turf handicaps, his stats are absolutely ridiculous. And the other thing I'd say is with Godolphin in general, particularly Saeed Bin Saroor, though, if he's bringing something to the Carnival that's had two or three starts and it's been off a year, 2 years, doesn't matter. There's very much a profile of a Godolphin horse that will do well at the Carnival, and you can kind of you know Saeed will get them fit. Don't worry about the break. He will get those bang fit. So you could pretty much support Godolphin blind through the Carnival, particularly Charlie Appleby on the turf, I would say. And then there's always the odd juicy international winner, but they can be a little bit harder to spot, unfortunately. But the internationals do better on the dirt to some extent, in that Scandinavia are broken through this year. We had a couple of winners from America as well, which was great. But the turf handicaps, although Jamie Osborne managed it this year and Charlie Fellows has done well in the past, it's pretty hard to beat Godolphin in the turf races. The problem with that is that they often run three or four, and it's finding the right one. But William Butte wouldn't get it wrong a lot for Charlie. I'd say most of the time he gets it right there.
Okay, that's coming to the end, but a lot of people go to Dubai for their holidays. A lot of people go to Dubai for the racing. What's it actually like to live there? And how's your Arabic?
Terrible. I know, I've been here. It's embarrassing. I've been here nearly 15 years. I probably know about 10 words. just laziness. I've no excuse at all, just pure laziness. I should have learned. It's great. It's been very good to me, to be honest. I love the weather. I love the racing season. The summers are a little bit hard work just because nothing really happens. It's got a bit better in recent years and we have this sort of indoor events and stuff normally. But that can be a bit tough. But it's a great place to live. There's in the winter from October through to April, May, there's always something going on. If you're not racing, you could be at tennis, you could be at polo, you could be some world famous, you know, boxing match or something. There's always something going on. It's absolutely brilliant. So it's a really good place to live. And say if people haven't been out, it's a great place for a long weekend. And I'd say come for a Maidan Thursday and a Jebel Ali Friday, and you won't have two more contrasting race meetings, even though they're only sort of 20 minutes apart.
Okay, so how often do you get back to the UK for racing?
I'm really, really lucky with my job. They're very keen. Their main focus away from the UAE is on racing in England. So obviously that's where Godolphin have the most of their runners and the leaders here. So I usually get back probably either for the Guineas or the Derby. I've done Royal Ascot, I think, the last 5 or 6 years. And then usually York in August and then maybe Champions Day. And then sort of beyond that, I'll come back a couple of times on my own as well and try and get racing. So really, really lucky with that. It's brilliant.
Okay, so finally, did you ever see yourself leaving the sunshine and coming back and buying a share in a point-to-pointer?
Oh, I'd love to come back. I'd absolutely love to come back. That would be great. I don't know. And the other reason I'm a little bit pathetic with National Hunt now as well. I do sort of watch it like this a bit. But I think, yeah, it would be my dad's probably greatest passion. He's got a few shares with Foxtrot Racing, a horse called Vaughan Romane, who's done really, really well for them. And he actually went to Saratoga last year, the horse, amazing horse. So my dad's got a few shares in jumpers. I think it would be a real dream to get a point-to-pointer with my dad. That would be amazing. I'm not sure we'd ever be able to afford it, but that would be brilliant. But beyond that, if it was just me, I think I'd probably be sticking to the flat syndicates, I think. I think it's too ingrained in me now to stick with the flat. So I've got my eye on a couple of syndicates I think about joining if and when we do move home.
Excellent. Well, it's been really nice talking to you, Laura. I do appreciate you giving us your time. And thank you very much.
No problem. I hope I didn't ramble on too much.
Not at all. Very interesting. Thank you very much.
For the latest political betting news and odds, check in with our expert William Kajani at starsportsbet.co.uk. BeGambleAware.org. Over 18 only.